He might need us talking to by Spike.
This isn't Sassy Elliott. What?
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. The final Jordan Mailata show is 6 o'clock tonight. Then the Players Lounge with Ike and Hugh and Elliot. I have to say, like, that's not the Sassy Elliott song.
Not the Sassy Elliott song, Buzz.
Yeah.
Well, I've never produced a Sassy Elliott, and I completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
Well, there's some accountability.
Yeah, it's not on Buzz, though. I think that's on us. And when I say us, I mean you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how this has turned on me. While I do appreciate the sentiment, because today is about accountability, Buzz doesn't listen to the show enough.
It doesn't matter. It's your job to tell him.
I've heard Sassy Elliott. I just didn't. I'll take accountability. I didn't think to play Sassy.
Yeah, thank you, Buzz.
You don't need to protect him so you can talk for 4 minutes during Fritz at 6.
Let's not. That's not giving away the game plan.
We all know what's going on here. We all know. Okay. Elliott Shoreparks joins us.
Serious day. Boba Show.
At least for the next hour. Serious day. Okay. Elliott Shoreparks joins us now. Elliott, thank you for joining us on this sad day.
Yeah. I figured that, since there was no Sassy Elliott, I put my big J hat on and just report from the locker room for you guys.
That's
a good call.
That's why
I told Buzz not to play today.
Nailed it.
Yeah. We don't need any sassiness from you, Elliott.
Yeah.
So the Eagles did clean out their lockers. They had one final public or press availability today in the locker room. So, Elliott, just going to sort of lean on you here. What was the most interesting stuff you heard today in the locker room from the players?
So it was definitely what Jalen Hurts had to say, which I'm sure we'll talk about at length. Jalen was asked about Kevin Petullo. He was asked about A.J. Brown, whether he wants either of them back. And I would say for Petullo, he was basically like, I'll leave that up to Howie, Nick, and he said Mr. Lurie. So kind of sidestepped that one. And then for A.J., I do think it was noteworthy that he said, him and A.J. have talked. They're in a great place. And kind of, I think, made a joke saying he'll let AJ talk to us about that, which is funny because AJ hasn't talked in like 6 weeks and also didn't talk today. So I think he was a little bit in on the joke there. But I think outside of that, like, a lot of the players said the same exact thing on defense. It was, we're happy with how the year went, but obviously we know we can always get better. And on offense, it was, we did not execute. Like, every single player on offense that spoke today, and to be fair, it was not a lot of them, right? Like, we didn't hear from many of the offensive linemen. We didn't hear from Devontae. Obviously didn't hear from AJ. But the ones that did talk, like, said, we had to execute better. And that was a common theme not only today but in the locker room last night, was straight up saying, it's not the scheme, it's not Petullo, it's us. Now, I know no one will believe them, but that is what they said.
Yeah, Devontae specifically said that he thought Petullo last night, not today, as you mentioned, he didn't talk today. Devontae said specifically, I heard it on Go Birds Daily today, actually, that, I listened to it. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Devontae specifically said he thought Petullo did a great job yesterday. It's hard, Elliott, for me. I go back and forth on this in that they say it's execution, and that's I get it, but also – that is, when the players all execute, that is also the coach's job. So you do wonder, let's put the scheme aside. Everybody wants to talk about, they didn't have the wide receivers running the right routes. Whatever. Let's put that to the side. The fact that they were so bad from a communication standpoint on offense, the fact that they were so bad from a penalty standpoint on offense, the fact that they were so bad from an execution standpoint on offense, I think to a degree you have to look at the coaching, because when it goes well, that's on the coaching as well.
Yeah, it's funny. I am in the camp of that the players could have played better this year, and I almost want to help the Petullo people out and say you're making the wrong point, right? Like, the people that try to criticize Petullo, like, I agree with you. I rewatched the game today. I thought it was actually a really good game in terms of, like, the play calling. Now, the results were not good, but you think about the first half, I thought the two touchdowns to Goddard were really nicely designed plays. They had a screen to Saquon, which they don't often pull off. That was very good. I mean, in the first half, they were on pace for, like, almost 500 yards of offense and 30 points. And, like, obviously it fell apart. But I think that what hurt this team from a coaching perspective is the fact that the players were so sloppy and they were not able to get it going, right? Like, so I don't think the issue was scheme. Like, on the game, on what should have been or could have been the game-winning drive, guys were open. Like, A.J. was open over the middle of the field. Devontae was open over the middle of the field. Jalen had a chance to maybe run in the game-winning touchdown. Now, he got tripped from behind. That's not anybody's fault. But, like, they almost had it. I just think, ultimately, when it comes to the Petullo of it all and the coaching staff, and honestly, Saquon kind of said this today in more or less terms, like, someone's going to have to catch blame for the fact that this wasn't good enough, right? So I do think that while it maybe is not completely his fault, the results are the results, and the results were not good enough.
Yeah, I think if you're going to look at that from a coach, from an offensive coordinator standpoint, maybe just a quick comparison between Petullo and Kellen Moore. Maybe because Kellen Moore is so much more experienced as a coordinator and as a play caller that he can take more time making sure they are detailed on these other things and reinforcing those things. Whereas Petullo is not, right? And especially when things start to unravel and the public pressure comes on scheme and is that it? Then all of a sudden the motivation becomes, one, protecting yourself publicly. I'm not saying that he is doing that, but it was certainly an organizational, you know, and he's certainly thinking about it. And I wonder if all of these things that have slipped for the Eagles, the penalties, the communication, is because the coordinator it is not an experienced play caller, and maybe his attention is just elsewhere. I'm just trying to figure out why this slipped away, you know, why they all knew all season long, playoffs or the penalties all season long, right? One of the most penalized teams in the league. You come into the most important game of the year with seven penalties, and it seems like six of them came at the worst possible time you could even have them.
And I think that has less to do with the offensive coordinator and more to do with attention to detail. You know, if anything, that's more on Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, that's
as the head coach.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, if anything, that's more on him, because those are supposed to be the things that he's harping on with these guys that you don't beat yourself. And I do understand there were times this year where you would have liked a better sequence of plays to be called. Stick with a certain sort of formula that's working or do a better job of adjusting. But aren't some of these things to be expected with a first-year coordinator, first-year play caller? A first-year play caller, I mean, we talk about Kellen Moore. How many years did Kellen Moore get to be an offensive coordinator? A lot of years.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what he was like in his first year as a play caller. I'm sure there were some frustrating times as a play caller in his first year. And I'm not absolving Kevin Petullo. What I'm saying is some of this should have been anticipated. To me, the bigger issue is, it's just like last year. It wasn't that Kellen Moore did anything exotic. You know, it was the offensive lineman that went to Nick Sirianni and said, put it on our shoulders and let's run the ball.
Yeah,
how creative did Kellen Moore get with that? They ran the damn ball and threw the ball less. They threw the ball less than any other team in the league from that point moving forward. So that's why the offense was ranked 29th in passing last year. It wasn't because Kellen Moore was some great offensive coordinator. What it was last year the players produced and formed. They performed last year. That's what happened.
So
they didn't beat themselves last year.
No. So Elliot, go ahead, Elliot.
Well, just something off of what Jalen said too. So I thought it was interesting. So Jalen talked for probably close to 15 minutes, maybe a little under 15 minutes today. And you would think that the way he was talking, that Petullo was already fired, right? Like he's talking about the benefit of, you know, even if there's not continuity, like you're going to have kind of a home base is what he used. And I took that as him saying, you know, certain parts of the offense that, you know, remain the same and, you know, there's changes. And he also said that if there is a new coordinator next year, paraphrasing here, like, that's not a new excuse, or that's not an excuse for things not going well, right? It's something he's been through before. And so that's when, you know, I said to him, like, you've always said you want continuity. Petullo is here. Like, you could have him be the coordinator next year. Like, do you want him back? And that is where he kind of sidestepped and didn't answer. So it's interesting because they are talking as if this is already a foregone conclusion. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it's just my read on it. But it was just interesting that there was no, like, we're all just dancing around the idea that Petullo is going to get fired, and finally, like, he just wouldn't answer it. But I just thought it was interesting.
So, Elliot, let me ask you this. The Eagles have had the biggest drop in points per game in the NFL this year. I think it was 6.7 points, fewer points this year than last. You would think there have to be some sort of changes, right? Like, you would think they can't just have everything back and say, well, we're just going to be good next year. Do you think, if you had a bet on it, do you think Kevin Petrullo is back as offensive coordinator next year?
I think there will be a change. I could envision a world where maybe they bring in, I'll just to pick a name, like a Frank Reich, right? Like somebody like that, that comes in, is going to have a big role on the Indy offense. Maybe they allow Petrullo to maintain the title of offensive coordinator. Maybe they call him assistant. Like, I could picture some world where he's still in the building, but I don't think they will bring it. They will run it back as is, even mostly because of public pressure. Like, if they bring Petrullo back and they make no big changes, they're going to have to spend all offseason hearing that it was a terrible decision. The pressure on that first game from an offensive perspective would be through the roof, right? So, I mean, to what Ike was saying, I do think, like, there is real parts of it's a first-year coordinator. And if they fire Petrullo, they have to hire somebody else. You have to wonder how attractive this job is, right? The last two first-year coordinators that have had this job got fired. Petrullo's house got egged this season. Like, I just, the quarterback probably has a reputation around the league of, you know, now that Brian Johnson's out there, Steichen's out there, Kellen Moore is out there, Petrullo will be out there. Like, people will check in on what it's like to coach Jalen, you know, how open he is to different schemes. They might not have A.J. Brown. They might not have Lane Johnson. Like, so while I get that it's the Eagles, they pay well, it's a big market, they have had head coaches come from this job, I do wonder, though, if the top offensive coordinators will say, why would I sign up for this, put my career on the line for 1 year, and potentially just end up doing the same stuff they've always done because they've always run the same scheme.
Well, typically, that's how we roll. Great football minds think alike. I'm locked in on Frank Reich. That's where I'm at.
There we go.
I'm locked in on Frank Reich. Listen, and I got no problem with Kevin Petrullo, but, you know, you get more information, and this was the one caveat before I spoke a couple weeks ago about keeping continuity in place and bringing Petrullo back. I said if they lose the first game and they don't look good offensively, then everything's on the table. Because just that's just what the pressure is going to be. I just don't know how we ignore bringing in – if you don't bring in a veteran like Frank Reich who is less likely to be a head coach somewhere else, you're still dealing with the unknown of some young coordinator coming in having to create an offense around what Jalen is comfortable with doing and then worry about does he leave at some point. So you're still in between this. Jalen, how long did it take for the adjustment to be completed to where you're running the offense efficiently and feel good about it? And even if you are, this team may be too good that the coordinator is on somebody's short list the following year. I just don't know how you do that with a young coordinator. And there aren't very many veteran coordinators out there that don't have aspirations to want to be a head coach. Frank Reich is a name I would keep an eye on. You know the relationship him and Nick Sirianni has. He's coached here before. If they want to keep this thing in the family, that's a name I'm looking at.
Well, and
I don't even know how good that is.
Well, one sec, Elliot. To Elliot's point about how attractive it is, and to your point there, if you're Mike McDaniel, you're going to come here. Your passing offense is over the middle of the field. Right, you're Cliff Kingsbury or you're whoever. Maybe Stefanski doesn't get a head coach job, mm-hmm. or maybe Brian Daboll. You want to come here so you can build up credibility, so you can get a head coach job somewhere. Is this the spot where you're best going to be able to show that you can do that? To a certain extent, Kellen Moore got lucky.
Yep.
Kellen Moore got a little lucky.
Yep.
That
he got the worst available job.
Yes.
Remember, nobody wanted the Saints job. It was the only job that was still open.
And he got lucky here in that this magical run thing happened 1 year.
Yep.
And like, I don't know. If I'm a top head offensive coordinator candidate, I don't know. I don't know if this is the job that you want. With all due respect to the Eagles and their, you know, their standing within the league and Howie, all those things.
No, it's Jalen.
Yes.
It's Jalen. Let's be honest about this. This job for an offensive coordinator, he has to come in and say, especially if it's a young guy who wants to be a head coach somewhere else, it's can I coach Jalen up enough to run my offense and make it better. Make him better. These coaches are all in a fraternity. They all talk, whether it's at the combines, whether it's at owners' meeting, wherever it's at. These guys talk. They all have relationships. They look at the film. They see the offense. They look at the offense and they say, well, hold on, what the hell are they doing? Like, what is this?
Well, and you know what these guys like? You know what Kyle Shanahan likes and Sean McVay likes and Mike McDaniel likes? They like a quarterback who will do exactly what they told them to do. They want robots in there, right? They want, look at this, Reed, look at this is what you have to do. And if you're walking into a situation with a quarterback who can't do those things, that they would almost rather have a guy that might have a little less talent if they're going to do exactly what you want them to do.
That's why Shanahan has no problem coaching a Garoppolo or a Brock Purdy or Mac Jones
or whatever it is.
Like, he has no problem with it.
Yeah.
A guy like Trey Lance wants to use that athleticism to break the play instead of throwing the ball when it's supposed to be thrown. That's why he couldn't thrive in Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Which is really why I think Purdy of – amazingly, probably provides the most upside of any quarterback that Shanahan has had, because he is willing to improvise a little bit and also do the other stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, just the last thing I would say is, like, guys were open last night. You know, I think we're talking about this as if, you know, like, I know everyone nationally and online, like, you know, like, how are they running four verticals, like, whatever. Like, guys were open. And, like, the A.J. Brown thing of it all, right? So now we can talk about A.J. not talking today. AJ has not spoken to the media in 6 weeks. When I see him in the locker room during the week, he seems in good spirits, but he has not, you know, he had a chance last night to talk. Devontae talked. He had a big drop. He had a chance today to talk and say, no, I want to be here. I want to be part of, like, trying to get back to Super Bowl champions. He passed on that, right? And then I think yesterday, too, like, I didn't think they were bad drops. So I thought the final one was a bad drop for sure. I didn't think it was a great pass from Jalen. I think he made it a harder catch than it had to be. But what stood out more to me on that first one, I thought it was a bad throw by Jalen. I thought the wind took it, and it was probably 2 or 3 yards short of where it needed to be. But I also think, like, AJ doesn't have that same burst anymore. And so I think, like, these down-the-field throws they've tried to make with him have not been as successful because of that. But the thing with AJ too is, like, what's his trade value going to be, right? Like, this time last year, or I guess, like, in season actually, we were saying, well, maybe AJ will want out, and, like, would they take a first round pick for him? Or would, I mean, are you getting a third for AJ at this point? Are you getting a fourth that could be a third? Like, I just wonder what the actual trade value will be.
I say yes on both of those. Right team, you'll get a second round pick for him. What is AJ, 27?
Something like that.
AJ has now, this will be the second team where he, like, didn't want to be there at the end, it seems,
sure.
Right? He did not have a good year. The incident last night on the sideline with Nick, like, I think is a bad look.
I agree.
I just wonder, you know, if that,
desperate teams, E.
If you're Buffalo.
Yeah, that's why we went and got AJ after we drafted a receiver in the first round. We were desperate.
If you're Buffalo and you lose this week, and you look at the entire country is saying that this is the worst collection.
Get Josh Allen some help.
Yeah, this is the worst collection of receivers in the league. But to your point, Elliot, I don't know that the first round pick stuff.
No.
That ain't.
Yeah, I don't know if that's happening. But, you know, a third that can be a conditional second round pick.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, it's probably a Patriots Bills bidding war too, which may get the price up.
If there's two teams.
Yeah,
if there's two teams.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. He'd be playing in Arizona or for the Jets. I mean, that's why I would send him.
Nice.
There is one
Titans.
More locker.
What about him?
Yeah, send him back to the Titans.
Yeah, what about him for Patrick Surtain?
I don't know if Denver would do
No,
it.
I don't think they'd probably do that anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
I win.
Sorry, just two more locker room things quickly.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So N'Kobe Dean talked. He said he met with Howie Roseman today. He didn't get an indication of whether or not they wanted him back. He said Howie spoke a lot about everything N'Kobe brought to the team. N'Kobe made it clear he really wants to be back. Jordan Davis, when talking about N'Kobe, was like, he'll be a great player, whether that's here or somewhere else. So I definitely think N'Kobe's status up in the air heading into the offseason. And then Jalen Phillips, like, they traded a third-round pick for him. I think the defense ended up being good. He had, what, one sack in his final 10 games or something like that? Like, he played well. The sack numbers weren't there. But he talked today about, he would like to be back in Philly. He said he wants to be somewhere he's comfortable, somewhere he can win. But I also think he knows, like, this is a big free agency for him. Like, this might be his last big check. So two of the big kind of impending free agents there, you know, waiting to see. Andrew Mukuba talked for the first time in a long time. He had a walking boot on still. He said that'll be out in 2 to 3 weeks. He feels good about going into next year. And then the last thing is Cooper DeJean was asked, does he want to move to the outside eventually? Because obviously that's where all the money is. Or, you know, is he fine in his current role? And he said he really likes playing the nickel role that he's in.
Yeah.
He ain't crazy. So,
well, and for all the money, how about this, Cooper? Make $9 million, $10 million.
Yeah. Are you kidding
me? That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
think they'll actually pay him close to CB1 money, for what it's worth.
Like, well, as
I
they
think
should.
They'll
pay. As they should. Yeah.
All right. He's all pro.
You better hope they don't move him to safety.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Let's see if Reed's back.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well.
Reed's a free agent, too.
Reed's a free agent.
Did Howie show N'Kobe the video of Christian McCaffrey against him in coverage? And say,
oh, come on.
Nah, was that, low
that one didn't come up.
You got to ask him to cover Christian McCaffrey.
Well, here, I think we're losing N'Kobe.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Elliot. So Elliot will join us for the Jordan Mailata Show at 6 and the Players Lounge at 7, and then be with us tomorrow.
Be
with us tomorrow, because Elliot, we got a long list of things to talk to you about.
Oh, I can't wait. The Rams offense will come up. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, 411 yards. Yeah,
should have been 41 if Puka didn't drop it. Yeah.
All right.
I look forward to it.
And Go Birds Daily continues throughout, right? It doesn't need to be the season for Go Birds Daily to happen, right?
Correct. Non-stop.
Okay.
You or Seltzer?
I mean, no, it's just the Go Birds Daily is Elliot.
Yeah, oh,
Go
okay.
Birds. Yeah.
I didn't know if Megan gets Seltzer through the...
No.
Is he okay this morning?
Seltzy?
Yeah.
Oh, he was sad.
Oh, I see. All right. Thank you, Elliot. You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. All right. 215-592-9494. Coming up next... Shady had something to say about Jalen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, come on.
More truth coming out.
Yep. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. You can catch all the basketball and hockey action at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. Find a location near you at ChickiesandPete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
The final wild card matchup is tonight, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is turning on playoff mode. All customers get a profit boost pack every NFL game day. Tonight, you'll find a pack loaded with multiple profit boosts waiting for you in the app. Whoo! Last game of the weekend. Listen, Houston's in Pittsburgh. I felt pretty confident that the Texans would win this game. They should. They're the better team. But here's what I've learned in my many, many years of watching that Pittsburgh Steelers organization. Nationally televised game, Monday night, at home, and they're getting points. I'll take the Steelers plus the points tonight, if not outright, and you could throw in a DK Metcalf touchdown if you really want to. Take your shot on an upset or build a parlay that fits the moment, then apply your profit boost and go after an even bigger payouts while the playoffs get rolling. So make sure you visit FanDuel.com/local, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL, and grab your profit boost pack every NFL game day. I mean, every NFL playoff game day, that is. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.